an honor, and I wish I could be with you more, and I thank the Lord He allowed it to happen this time. You know, when you get nervous, I just might as well tell the truth, amen. I know all preachers do that, right? And I had a dream, and Frank was in it, and Frank came with me, and he's a wonderful help to us so much. He's like a father to me, and I appreciate him, and he was in the dream. And Brother Hollis was in it. Brother Seeker was in it. And I guess I was just subconsciously realizing you might be here. And it just, you know, I don't know how dreams work, but it worked. And there was two lines. And dreams don't often and hardly ever make sense. And there was one line. We were in it. It was long. And it was called the henpecked husband line. And we were in it. It was a dream. And your pastor, Savosky. Savosky, am I saying it right? Well, he was in the other line, the non-henpecked husband line. And although we wanted to admire that he was over there, we didn't really figure it out that why is he over there, we thought. And so we went over and asked him, Brother Rich, how is it you're in this line and we're all in the henpecked husband line? And he said, I don't know, my wife told me to stand over here. And if my father-in-law was here, he would say, we're not a hoot without our wives. And he's right about that. I could tell you a lot of stories about that, but we wouldn't have time. I'd like to have you go to Matthew chapter 4. And by the way, I appreciate the singing. Praise the Lord, Mrs. Welsh. And I know my daughters would love to be here. And they really enjoyed being in the choir. And they're still singing, and they're serving the Lord. And I thank God for that. I got paid to sing once, though. I mean, I don't even know if it's right. But I was singing once, and somebody gave me $10 and said, if you'll quit singing, I'll give you $10. So I took it. That was lunch for the day. Amen. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 4, if you would, and we're going to look here. I don't know if you want to stand. I'll just do what the pastor... Okay, he says yes, so we'll stand and read the scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he had answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And I'd like to pray, dear Father, I know this is well-known scripture, and even as I read it again, I'm amazed at it. I pray, dear Father, as my part in the preaching this morning, I've been encouraged and my batteries have gotten energy, and just to see the people that have taught me and taught me by example and by faithfulness, and I just thank God for them, and I just pray that you'll help my part in it, that I'll be a blessing to someone this morning. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go ahead and be seated. I know you don't want to stand. And you know, when I have a guest speaker in, I always stand. And I'm used to it. And I jump and I've kicked and I've walked pews once. I won't do it again. I didn't fall. And I didn't do it because I wanted to be cool. It just happened, and I didn't even know why it was happening. But it hasn't happened since, so nothing to worry about. I am pretty mild most of the time. Amen. But anyway, well, when you get plugged in the Bible, it does something to you. I mean, it really does. I mean, this thing's alive. One preacher said, I'm surprised it doesn't just rumble right on the pulpit. Amen. I mean, it's the living Word of God, and we heard it sung about just a moment ago. And I thank God we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. And aren't you glad you're saved? You know, it might be possible somebody here isn't. I would say it's likely not to be, but by the odds of averages, it could be that somebody's not saved. And I'm glad to tell you I'm saved. If they let me in, they'll let anybody in. I was in my home church, and the pastor had enough guts to let me get up and preach for the first time. And when I preached, I wanted to have an icebreaker, and so I said, you know, if it took good looks to get to heaven, I wouldn't be going. I got so many amens, I thought, you know, I'm on my way to being a real revivalist here. And then afterwards I thought about it, and I wasn't as amused about it then. But anyhow, that's still true. I'm glad that's true. Amen. Well, and here I want to talk to you about, we had a good meal this morning, and somebody was remarking, I'm glad that God lets us eat together. And I am too. Eating meetings always bring people. Amen. And I like to eat, and so when it's time to fast, it's got to be of God. Amen, because I like to eat. And he knows that he gave me taste buds, and so he wants us to enjoy it too, just not so much as some might. Anyway, in Matthew chapter 4, I thought about this, and of course there's other parts that are very important, but I want to key on, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. And that's everyone, amen. Jesus didn't have a book that had troubles with it, amen, no mistakes. Aren't you glad? And he opened the Bible and preached out of it. I'm glad I have a book that way also. I really am. And there's no mistakes in it. The only mistakes is me misinterpreting it at times. But the Bible's perfect. Amen. And it's God's Word. And so he says that you and I can't live without it. Now, I'm not going to ask to raise hands, but we could even embarrass preachers if we were to be honest whether we've been in it or not. And yet God says we need to be in it. Amen. But I'm glad Grandma believed in the Bible, because I don't know what other grandmas did, but when we were little and Mom and Dad and them went to the football games, Grandma got the Bible storybook out and told us about Jesus and Zacchaeus and Moses and Daniel and the lion's den. We weren't watching some goofy sorcery junk cartoon. And they wouldn't even allow it back then. Amen. Hallelujah. And we didn't need it, but we needed Grandma telling us about Jesus. And we'd sing some of the songs we even sang today. And Grandma took us to church. I mean, she took us to church. She didn't ask if we wanted to go. We're going to church. And that's where we went. And that's where we heard Elvin Summers preach the Word of God. I didn't know then, but my grandpa, my dad's dad, had a burden because our neighborhood didn't have a church, and they and him and another fellow who were working in the steel mill in their spare time built a church, because they said the families need a church, and brought the pastor. I believe God brought the pastor in, and that's the pastor that preached about hell on the Sunday morning on Easter 1970 when I got saved. Well, that's a wonderful day. Amen. Now, I know some people don't know the day they were saved, but if you don't remember where you're at, I would try to make sure about it, because I remember. And the church was really small. It was a small church, but the preacher preached the Bible, and he preached that Sunday on hell, and God come and visited me about four or five seats back, sitting by a grandma that had enough character and love to take us to church. And God bless her, because I'm going to see her. I mean, after we get done with Jesus, I'm looking for Effie Yoder. And if anybody, if you hear somebody's name's Effie, they're really old, because nobody does that anymore. And I thank God for her, because she taught us the Word of God and about Jesus Christ. You know, I found out later I got saved the same day that Phil Tharp got saved. Same Easter Sunday. I didn't know him. I'm in Ohio. He's in Illinois. He's in an Episcopal church, but they in Easter they read the gospel, and Ron Thacker was already working on him, and God was working on him, and he got saved that Easter. And in his words, he said when he walked out, the birds sounded sweeter and the air tasted sweeter, and he was just saved. And if you knew him at all, if you asked him how he was, he would often say, I'm saved. We're not always on top of the world, are we? I know I'm not. And when they taught us in school, every Monday you go on to quit. And they had a preacher who was leather lunged and looked like he'd beat your head in if you goofed up in chapel and told you don't quit. And that's exactly what we needed to hear, because we were fixing to quit. And it was the Word of God. I remember Bob Chuler came. I didn't know none of these people. And I know, Brother Rich, I agree 100% with you about chapel, but the first year I thought everybody hated me. They probably didn't even notice me. I was skinny. I was sitting in the back. But I thought that they were preaching about everything I ever did or thought about doing, and they were preaching hard. And I was thinking about, man, they don't even like me here. But actually, they did. They did like, they let me stay for 4.5 years. I crammed 4.5 years into 4 years. And they let me stay. But what a wonderful thing. And the chapel was good because it was there. We heard the preaching of God's Word. And I don't want to hear it if it isn't preaching. I don't want to hear talking and rapping. And I turned on religious television long enough to shut it off just about. And I saw the choir director going like this. And the choir's all jumping up and down. And I didn't know if we were in Africa or not. I don't know what they were doing. It was craziness. I think it was. I don't know. I might, but that's just not the brand of church I was brought up under. And I don't want to change. So Jesus here, the Bible says, He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. How would you like that plan? Hey, I don't. Amen. What's that guy that said, don't eat bread, eat meat? Forget his name. I don't know why. But he's. And when he did that, missionaries come. I just need meat. Get me meat, you know. And that guy died. And what was his name? Dr. something. Nobody? Help me. Yeah, Dr. Atkins. And he died. And now they don't ask for it anymore. That crazy stuff happens. But, you know, if we can eat all the Word of God we want, we can get fat in the Lord. Amen. God bless the fat kine, not the skinny ones. And why is it we don't eat a lot of the Bible, but we eat a lot of the other stuff? Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I thought about a restaurant. I like to go to a restaurant once in a while, and they have a menu and they have things on it. But this restaurant is the Wonderful Words of Life. The ones that we go to when we go to God's restaurant, and it has a reputation. The reputation of the restaurant is known. Sometimes the world, we find those holds the Christians today in accountability, like they know how to act more than we do. Christians sometimes give a bad reputation, but God's restaurant of eternal life has a good reputation. And God never lied, never cheated, never stealed. He was never unfaithful to any of us. And the reputation of the restaurant is known by Jesus Christ. Jesus had a reputation of being powerfully used of God, and they've seen the miracles. John says if all that he did was written, I suppose the whole world couldn't contain all the books. And I think that's pretty interesting in the short time that he lived. But what we read about is amazing. And Jesus said, what I've done, you'll do greater things than these. And so the reputation of the church, it ought to be that we pay our bills, and it ought to be that we don't lie and we don't cheat. You know, I've known some of her. In fact, I know them, and they run off with the money. One guy in Ohio, and God, it seemed like they were having a revival, but he gave up one time and gave a statement to his church. He said, I think I'm at a place where the devil can't get me. And it wasn't weeks, if not just months later, he ran off with the secretary, and the church almost folded. The reputation of the church is important, but when I want to talk about some of the people in the restaurant, when you walk in a restaurant, there's a server. Somebody comes to greet you. And usually, depending on what restaurant it is, they're coming up and asking to seat you. In John chapter 4, we find the server, and I thought about the Samaritan woman that came, and when she came to the well in the middle of the day. And we know that they didn't come in the middle of the day because it was hot. And they would come in the cool of the day or the evening. And the fact is that her sin had caused her to be isolated from even those who committed the sin with her. And she was rejected. But Jesus came. You know, Jesus loves sinners. Amen. Aren't you glad? And He loved this woman. He loved her soul. And when he seen her, he told her, I know all about you, because God does know all about us. And if you knew of the water that I had to give, you'd never thirst again. You know, folks think they're going to heaven. She got the answer wrong at first, because she said, well, we know that this well from Jacob, he put this here, but he wasn't talking about that water. He was talking about himself. Amen. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit moves in. And out of our belly comes living water. And she didn't know about that. And I wonder how many people are not knowing about Jesus because we're not giving out the water. You know, my father-in-law told me, when you get up to preach, what you need to do is fill yourself up full of the Word of God. Amen? And you know, if we'll learn this Bible and study it, and God will use it in times when we don't even know how it happens. But that's what they need. They don't need our opinions. I asked a guy once, if he died, he'd go to heaven. He says, I don't want to go to heaven. And I never heard that before. And so I asked him, well, how is it you don't want to go to heaven? He said, because you're naked and you're floating around on marshmallows and you don't got nothing to do. And I never heard that before. And I hope to never hear it again. That's not heaven, or I wouldn't want to go either. This guy wasn't kidding. He wasn't trying to be funny. For some reason, all he had about God was probably from a commercial selling marshmallows. Well, he didn't need that. He needed to hear that Jesus died on the cross to save him. No, I told him about it. He didn't get saved that day. And I suppose it was my part to plant or to water a seed that might have been planted. I don't think it had been. But we're to serve out this water. And we don't know where people are. We can't assume that they're saved even if they go to a Baptist church. We need to give out. And she greets you at the door. I was at a church once. We were on vacation. By the way, we go to church when we're on vacation. But we do. I just think my father-in-law would come out of heaven and beat us half to death and go back to heaven if we didn't. I heard him talk about it. Some of these preachers, they go on vacation. They don't go to church. I think, anyway, I'm just remembering that. But we went to a church, and we couldn't get out of the car, and they had people greeting us right from the door. And asked us our names, what the ages, told us where our kids needed to go. And that don't happen everywhere. We went to another church, and I came in and sat down, and somebody said, that's my seat. So I got out. And then the preacher preached like he was mad at everybody. I think he was madder than the devil was. And nobody shook her hand, so I said, I got to do something about this. Because I'm really not that outgoing, but I said, they ain't going to shake my hand, I'm going to shake their hand. So I walked around and said, hey, I'm a visitor, how you doing? Amen. What's your name? And that was kind of funny because some of them looked at me and laughed. Others just looked at me and walked away. I get that a lot. Anyway, but she greets us at the door with joy. Where's the joy at? Where's the blessedness you speak of? If you're not in the Bible, it's going to go quick. Amen. She greets us with a smile. They say that people that smile live 10 years longer than people who don't. I'm just taking their word for it, but it makes sense to me. Looks like if some people smiled, their face would crack. Amen. And she brings us water. They have music, and today we have what's called music. It doesn't sound like it. It's sensual, earthly, sensual, and devilish. When I went to church, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus was on the jukebox in the restaurant. Victory in Jesus was sung, and Shall We Gather at the River, and I Know Whom I've Believed, and Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Boy, these are good songs. And I can't imagine anyone growing up not hearing them. Or a church advertising that they got rid of the hymn book. These are wonderful songs. And I'm not against new songs, just as long as they're right songs. Amen. But worldly music's come into the church. It seems like when that happens, the King James goes, the preacher starts dressing down, and women start preaching, and they start jumping up and down in the choir. Well, there's a new song in my heart, even Praise Unto Our God. And the new music that God puts in our heart praises Him. It lifts Him up. Amen. You know, we can really cheer our own self up if we'll sing when we go to work. And the boss tells you that you're a jerk and somebody steals your bus and somebody, whatever can happen at work. You know, we ought to sing to the Lord. Amen. David played on the harp. I got to quit, but I went to a house. Some guy said, I have demonic activity. Now, I haven't had a lot of that up until just a few years ago. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't remember having that covered in school. And it probably was. I may have been sleeping. But what do? You go. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I remember Dr. Malone Jr. preaching, and he said he was out east, and he said there was a lot of mediums out there. I didn't know at the time what that meant, but I guess they're witches or something like that. And he said he went and knocked on the door, and a guy came to the door and said, "I'm a medium." And Dr. Malone Jr. said, "Well, I'm a large," and he got out of there. And that's what I was thinking about. But duty calls. And we went. And we sang songs. And the reason I just come up with what I thought we ought to do, because I thought about David when he played the harp and the evil spirits went away. And we sang a lot of songs about the blood. Amen. I don't know if there was a demon in there, but he probably didn't like my music or my singing anyway. And he got out of there. Amen. And we prayed and we did what we thought. But you know, this stuff's real. But good music will chase out the devil. The Bible says so. Amen. I think so, right? And we had our kids when they were little. They would say they were having nightmares and stuff. And I didn't know what to do. So I said, I got my guitar. And I said, I'll tell you what. We'll just sing gospel songs. And that's what we did. And we did that for years. While the kids grew up and when they went to sleep, we just sang the hymn songs and whatever they wanted to sing. And they didn't have any nightmares anymore. You're not going to believe this, but I met a lady that lived in our house before I went there. Now, when we moved in our house, it's over 100 years old. They said, that house is haunted. Well, I expect that because people just say stuff like that. But this lady lived in our house. She said, are you got stuff coming up missing in that house? Yeah, I lost a remote. I think it's in the couch somewhere. Why do you ask? Well, she said, when we lived there, things came up missing, and there was footsteps up the stairs and screams and stuff, and they literally hired somebody that comes supposed to get the ghost to go to some place in peace. And all that happened in our house. Crazy stuff. Well, I just told her, we scared them out. We ain't got any troubles with them. Amen? But Jesus is so good to us. We need to be in His Word. We need to sing about His Word. We need to serve for Him. And let me see here. Lastly, is in here somewhere? People always laugh when I say that and smile. There's the meal. And you know, there's a cup. I like a cup of coffee. As soon as I go in, I turn it up and the waitress knows I want coffee. It's probably not good for me, but I'll die of it probably. But I hope to go in the rapture. Anyhow, there's a cup of suffering. There's one thing, when I got saved, I thought troubles are over, everything's coming up roses, no more troubles. And before the day was out, I found that wasn't true. That wasn't true. I got a new enemy, and he was ready for the fight. And I won't belabor the thing there, but I remember James and John's mother coming and taking their boys up, and I want one to sit on the right and the left, and he said, are you able to drink of the cup? You know, there was a lot of people that started out as freshmen and a lot less graduated. And somewhere in there was suffering. And the devil weeded us out. I remember a guy didn't know me too much, but he came up and saw me on my senior year. And he goes, I can't believe you're still here. I said, I am. He said, you encourage me because you're still here. And I would encourage me to have him say that. But you know, if you serve the Lord, there'll be a cup. And He said, you will indeed drink of this cup. And there's serving. I was going to talk about the milk. As the newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And I'll close with this one. And I promise. I went into the store. And I like to have ham. I guess we're under grace, right? And I like ham. And I went in there with my wife, and like I know what I'm doing, she does all the shopping. I just walk around and look important and buy the stuff she'll never buy. But we did stop by the semi-boneless section, and I decided I want to read what's in there. And it said semi-boneless, and I thought, I don't really know what that means. Does it have a bone or doesn't it? What's a semi-bone? Is that like a semi-driver? He's a little guy saying, wait for me, guys. I just got a little, what are they trying to sell me here? Does it have a bone or not? I wanted to get somebody to tell me. And you know, sometimes people say they're Christians, but you're not sure if they really are. They're semi-Christians. Amen. So when you get the ham, make sure it's got a bone in it. Amen. A backbone, if you will. Well, I'm going to quit. I appreciate the opportunity to preach it. You know, I hope, and I know Brother Green's here, and we read the Baptist spreads and appreciate them. In fact, we've left them places and people called us and wanted them. But we need to stay in this Bible because we can't live without it. And thank God for it. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that you allow me to be here.